Well, I don't know. I heard a rumor, but I'm not sure. They're going to cancel TikTok in America. I don't know if that's true or not. You see, the thing is, I was banned from TikTok a year ago, so I don't know what's going on. But anyway, my wife banned me from that, and that was probably the best thing that could ever happen to me. Okay, but anyway, my question this morning is, do you think, when you think about all the information platforms out there on social media, do they really provide us with a serious insight and counsel into the most important issues of life? I mean, we go to it a lot. I mean, one of my New Year's resolutions is really reduce my time on the smartphone in general. As a matter of fact, I really don't even have a smartphone now. I just have a phone that kind of... By the way, I have a new phone number, so if you tried to reach me and couldn't get a hold of me, well, that's why. Sorry about that, Lafayette. You probably texted me about a football game or something, and I didn't respond. Well, it's because I got a new phone number, so don't leave without getting my number today. But there's crucial questions in life that we need to face head on. We can't sweep under the rug. Like, for example, how can I, as a sinful person, be righteous before God? How can I have my sins forgiven and His judgment be taken away from me? Because the Scripture is pretty clear that if we do not believe, we are under the judgment of God. If we don't believe in God's Son, Jesus, and what He has done, we are under judgment. And that's a very scary thing. I don't want anybody to be in that situation. So how do we fix that? Question number two, how can I know that there is life beyond the grave? That there is actually joy and happiness rather than the fear of the prospect of judgment? Okay, so is there eternal life for us in God's presence? To be honest with you, there is eternal life either way. But we want to choose the eternal life where we're whole and at peace and with God's in God's presence. Question three, how can I have my deepest longings of my heart satisfied? We all have longings, and some of those are, quite frankly, they're more superficial in nature. We desire comfort. We desire prosperity. We desire to live a comfortable life. But those aren't the deep heart cries of our soul, you know, at 2 a.m. when we're trying to get some sleep and these things pop into our mind. Last night, I'll share you a crazy dream I had last night. For some reason, I was sitting in this conference. I don't even know what kind of conference it was, but there was like, I was sitting in this row, and next to me, there was this like wall, and right by, I was finding like gold nuggets in the wall. It was crazy. I don't know why. I must be dealing with financial issues or something. It was like, whoa, here's a gold nugget. I'm going to take this home. Crazy. I have weird dreams. Ask me about them sometimes. They'll probably scare you. Anything. Four, how can I know God personally? Can I really know? When we think about the universe and how big it is and the expanse of the universe, some people might say, well, the universe is so big. How can God, who made the universe, even know I even exist? How can I know Him personally? And finally, is there power? Is there power in love? Is there a power that can really change people from the inside out? So they're not doing drugs, and they're not stealing, and they're not cheating, and they're not murdering. Is there a possible way to get out of that? These are the greatest issues of life. And where are we going to turn for the insight and the counsel that we need? Is it going to be social media, where most people spend a lot of their time now? It's such an addictive thing. I'll tell you, I got to admit that I was pretty much addicted to it, especially as things were transpiring in America and the election was coming up, and I couldn't get enough of it. I was like, I needed more and more. But 2025, so I'm going through withdrawals. I'll say that right now, you know, in 2025, but I'll be okay. Blaise Pascal. He was a French mathematician and philosopher. He died like 360 years ago or more. He says that men's sensitivity to small things and his insensitivity to the most important things are surely evidence of a strange disorder in man. We obsess about the details, but some of those bigger questions, those most important questions, we don't give the time of day to. And maybe that's because we, I don't know, maybe it's because we just feel like I won't be able to understand it, so I'm not going to go there. Pascal went on, thought that if there is a possibility that there is a God in heaven, and if there is a possibility that there is such thing as eternal life, or possibility of judgment, just the possibility, then reasonable people will be earnestly engaged in settling those issues for themselves. Getting right with God, preparing for the endless age of existence beyond this world. That reasonable people, they would want to grapple with these issues. But what do we see? We see a modern culture. We live in a culture that really has no significant place for these questions. Maybe you've had a conversation with a person, and they would, as they find out, maybe, oh, I don't know, I go to church, or I'm a pastor, or I'm a Sunday school teacher, and they would say, I'm not a very religious person. That's a lot of people will say that, you know, I'm not a religious person. That's really the portrait of millions of Americans, and maybe people all over the world. They say, I believe in God, but I'm not religious. I'm not religious. What's that like? That's like saying, there's a great doctor out there who can heal my terminal disease, but I'm not going to call him. Or you're out there stranded somewhere in the ocean, and you know there's a rescue boat out there, but I'm not going to signal them to get rescued. Maybe you found out there. Here's my dream again. Here, I believe there's a treasure hidden in a nearby field, but you don't go buy it. It's for sale, and you could buy it, but you don't. I guess what my point here is that I'm praying that each of us would not fall asleep concerning the most important issues of life. And I want to, this morning, take those five questions very quickly, which seem to be the most important questions. These are my opinions about what I think are the most important. You might think there's other questions. But I want to show you from the Word of God that, and this sounds cliche, you know, Jesus is the answer, okay? That might sound very cliche to you. But in 2 Corinthians 9:15, Paul says, you know, thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift, or His indescribable gift. That's what 2 Corinthians 9. So let's take the first question. Peace with God and forgiveness of sins. Is that possible for us? Everyone knows that the Bible is right when it says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We don't have to read that. We just know that in our hearts, that we're not perfect, that we are, in a sense, broken spiritually, and that we regret. There's always things that we regret in life, right? I mean, things that our relationships sometimes, or things that we've done that we're not proud of. These fall under the category of sin, and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, God has set a standard for us how we should live. We could see that pretty simply as we read the Ten Commandments, and we know that if we look in the mirror, we say, okay, I've broken those. And so we also know intuitively that God is a holy God and a just God, and He must be reckoned with in our lives. And the Bible says it is appointed to man once to die, and after that comes the judgment. We will give an account to God for our lives that we live. So our heart tells us loud and clear, we must find a way, if there's possible, to get right with God in our lives. And this is why the gift of God is so wonderful to us. The Bible tells us there was a man who came seeking healing from Jesus. And Jesus looked on him and his friends. He saw their faith and said, my son, your sins are forgiven. What wonderful news that was. But interesting enough, there was people there in that room, religious leaders, who instead of rejoicing in this wonderful news, said, this is blasphemy. You cannot say that. So they right away found fault. It's interesting how the, you know, our churches are good at finding fault, aren't they? And so hopefully we can have a little grace with one another and get through that. But we can only have grace to one another if God has given us the grace, first of all. But now, what do you think Jesus, or why do you think Jesus, why do you think that they thought Jesus was committing blasphemy when he said, your sins are forgiven? You can see for yourself. Let me give an example. Suppose during our greeting time, when we get up and we mingle with one another, I go back and I punch Lance in the nose. Wouldn't that be a terrible thing? And before he even reacts, someone comes up and says, Lance, I'm here to say that Pastor Bill is forgiven. I'm going to forgive Pastor Bill. And he's going to say, what are you doing? You can't do that. He punched me. I'm the one that's going to have to forgive him. That's kind of what the religious leaders are saying to Jesus. Who do you think you are? This man sins against God. God is the only one who can forgive him. You committed blasphemy because you acted like you are God. And to this Jesus said, the Son of Man has been given authority on earth to forgive sins. And he healed that man physically right then. Jesus did what only God has the power and the right to do, and that is to forgive. The choice we must make as individuals is that we got to decide, is Jesus a liar or is he the Son of God who actually can take away the sins of the world? John the Baptist stood up. John the Baptist was the cousin of Jesus, correct? And he looked at Jesus and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So this is our first Greek good question, or important question. Jesus came, he suffered, he died, he rose again from the grave to pay the price for our sins. We've got to make that decision in our lives. When we trust him as the Lord and Savior, we can have peace with God. We can know that our sins are forgiven. There is no condemnation. That is a wonderful thing. And so when that happens, when you feel that in your heart, you know that in your heart, we can say, just like Paul said, thanks be to God for this inexpressible gift of Jesus, to know that our sins are forgiven. Next, what about joy and no judgment beyond the grave? To escape the judgment of a holy God, is that possible? I remember once asking a man if he was ready. He was on his deathbed. He was very close to dying, and I said, Are you ready to meet your God? And he just kind of laughed it off. And he said, oh, I'm sure God will, when I get up to that doorstep of God's house, he's going to turn me away. And I thought, wow, that's so depressing. And I tried to help him see how serious the matter was. And he just kind of wouldn't talk about it. He didn't want to talk about it. But believe me, the Bible is clear. There is a heaven and there is a hell. They both last forever. And where we spend eternity is decided in our decisions in this life. Let's make no mistake about it. Jesus said that he is the only way to heaven. John chapter 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believe in him should not perish. Amen, Zachary. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can be confident. You can be assured knowing that you have eternal life if you believe in the indescribable gift of God, which is His Son, Jesus. What about our deepest longings in life? How can I have the deepest longings of my heart satisfied? Not just the superficial desires for comfort and prosperity, but again, those deep cries of the heart that sometimes are so, you can't even express what you desire. Maybe it's purpose and meaning and significance and just not being lonely. Those things. There was a famous baseball player. You probably don't remember him. His name is, well, some of you old-timers might. Gary Gaetti. Remember Gary Gaetti? Played for the Twins way back in the 80s, but he won the World Series with the Twins, and That's pretty amazing because the Twins don't win too many World Series, but they did that year. And he said in his book, I thought that winning the World Series was the greatest thing ever in my life. But then he said, I became a Christian. And then I realized, he put things in perspective. He said, there's no denying that there are thrills that the world offers. And they were great thrills. He was so happy to be a part of a world championship baseball team. That was really the pinnacle of his baseball career. But he said that joy did not even come close to what it meant to being a child, to becoming a child of God. Our appetites in life are many, aren't they? The fleshly appetites. You know, we can't escape them, really. I mean, we got to eat, and we got to sleep, and we got to do certain things, earn money so we can, you know, pay the bills, that sort of thing. But if we really want deep satisfaction, it has to have something to do with the relationship with the one who's made us, our Creator. Everybody is thirsty. Everybody is searching for this, you know, incomprehensible joy and satisfaction. But when you find Jesus on a personal level, the search is over. Now, does that mean all of a sudden your life is going to be all a bed of roses? No. God is going to put us through things that are going to be very trying, very challenging. But when those things happen, we can cling to this all-important person through those times. Point four, a personal relationship with God. This goes back to this idea, you know, the astronomers, the professional astronomers, they go out there and they revise their size of the universe. You know, they thought it was this big, and then they get more information. We realize it's not that, it's 300 million trillion miles across, which is about, I don't know, a bunch of light years. And you start thinking about that, and that God created all that, and that he's bigger than the universe. And the bigger the universe gets, the greater God gets. And people will think, well, the greater God gets, the bigger he gets, the further, he's getting further away from me. How can I know a God like that? Well, that's, again, going back to the inexpressible gift of God, God's Son. Because it says in the Scriptures, in John chapter 1, the Word who was with God, and the Word was God, and was at the beginning was the Word, He became flesh and dwelt among us. So this great God who is in charge of making this incredibly expansive universe, He actually took on human flesh, and it says, dwelt among us. God in the person of Jesus, and even Jesus said to Philip, he said, if you have seen me, you have seen my Father. This is Jesus, this is God through Jesus reaching out to us across the billions of galaxies out there. God wants to be known. God wants to be honored for who he is. And he's chosen us to do that. What a magnificent privilege that is. God wants to be our Father. God wants to be our friend. And though He is great beyond all imagination, He came near to us in Jesus so that we can know Him. If you have known me, Jesus said, you would have known my Father. From now on, you do know Him and have seen Him. When you have seen me, Jesus says to his disciples, we can know God. We can know God as personally as you know someone in this very room. And when that sinks into our heart and our mind, we can really truly say, thanks be to God for his inexpressible, indescribable gift. And finally, the power to love. You know, one of the things I'm hoping to do in 2025, at least as a church, is that we would hear more testimonies from people about God's amazing love in their lives. How God has provided, how God has pulled us back from the brink, how something that you thought was never possible, all of a sudden became possible. And of course, this question can be found in the Bible as well. That there is power in love to change. Paul the Apostle, before he was the Apostle, he was out not trying to help the church and to evangelize and make new churches. He was out there trying to destroy the church and to put people in jail and to persecute them and separate families and do all that terrible stuff. But he later on said, after he became a Christian, he says, the reason I've changed is that it's no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. See, Apostle Paul lived by faith in the Son of God, was an incredible, he lived a life of love. He lived a life of sacrifice. He lived a life of joy. Because he was trying to impersonate his Savior, really. And he had no doubt that there is power that really changes people. Because he looked at his own life and he says, it happened to me, it can happen to you. You know, I don't know where you all are. I look out at you folks. I know a lot of your stories, but there's a lot I don't know that God has taken you through. And I hope you've shared that with others. Perhaps you'll be bold enough at some point this year to come up here and share that with the family of God. I could tell you about one particular story. A man who was, you know, he was, and this story is repeated. You've heard it before. You know, the young fellow who got in trouble with the law. Maybe he was stealing or he did drugs or something like that. Ended up in prison. Maybe he tried to make his life better. Maybe he joined the army. In this particular case, he got out of the army. He got married. He had his own son. But his wife and him were still doing drugs and stuff like that. He even had a little child, and yet that little child was raised up in a family of drug abusers, and things were starting to unravel, and he got to the point where he was quite depressed. He even thought about, I shouldn't even say it. But one day at work, a fellow saved that man from... There was a big crane that would come crashing down. You see those tall cranes and making buildings, and you look at them and go, they can't be safe. And sure enough, some of them aren't, and they come crashing down. And anyway, one came, and one fellow pulled him out of the way, so saved his life. And that fellow who saved him said, you know what? I don't know what all you're going through, but Jesus is the answer. That's so cliche sometimes when you hear that. But really, it's the truth. And anyway, as the story goes, you know, he finally ends up giving his life to God. And he becomes a preacher. That's not my testimony, by the way. I just want to tell you. But everybody's got a testimony. And you might think yours is like, oh, mine's so boring. No crane came down crashing on me. I didn't, survive a motorcycle wreck. I didn't survive, you know, cancer or something like that. I can't say that. And you say, well, my life is boring. But you know what? Maybe those are exactly the messages that people need to hear, because they don't need all the flashing lights and things like that. They just need someone to tell them that, yes, believe in your heart that you shall be saved, and you do that yourself, and all of a sudden you're on the right track. Is there power to love? Is there a power that can really change people? Yes, it is. And we're so, thanks be to God for the inexpressible gift of God. Is there a way to have eternal life? Yes, there is. All we have to do is believe in God's Son, Jesus. Is there a way for our sins to be forgiven? Yes, if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus was raised from the dead, we will be saved. Is there a way your deepest longings can be satisfied? Yes. Is there a way to know God personally and to be His friend? You know, He came, passed through the galaxies to us, took on human flesh. If you've never personally received Jesus into your life, I am commending him to you today. Every Sunday, Blake is faithful to come up here, stand up here, and wait for someone to come up here and say, you know what, I'm ready to receive Christ. We could make Blake's day today. He could come up here, and someone will come up here and say, you know, pray for me. I'm not, maybe you're not sure about it yet, but you come up here and say, you know, I'm not sure, would you pray for me and help me so I could believe that? Make his day. I urge you to trust and call upon him. Whoever calls, here's the last verse. Whoever calls upon him, calls upon the name of the Lord, and says, you shall be saved. All because of the inexpressible gift of God.